Welcome to Jaguars Monday.
Jaguars Monday.
Jaguars Monday. With your host, Jaguars.com senior editor Vic Ketchman. Jaguars Monday on News Talk Radio WOKV is brought to you by Community First Credit Union, Prudential Network Realty, the Jacksonville Transportation Group, Baptist Health, and by Ticket Exchange. Now, here's your host, the always happy, always positive, always effervescent, man of a thousand smiles, Vic Ketchman.
Hi, everybody. Yes, it's Vic Ketchman. I bet you never thought that I would host a show. Well, now we're going to find out if you were right. It's Jaguars Monday, the premier Jaguars Monday, first ever Jaguars Monday. This is a show, of course, that you might remember was previously known as Jaguars Reporters. And we lost one of the reporters, Cole, no longer with us. So we didn't want to make the show Jaguars Reporter. It just didn't sound right. So we changed the whole name. Jaguars Monday. That's kind of cool. I got Gene Smith, the Jaguars general manager, with me in the studio. And I made a point of asking Gene to be the guest when we let off the first show for the obvious reason. This is the kickoff show to Jaguars Monday, and this is the kickoff season to Gene Smith's reign as the team's general manager, and I can feel a freshness that goes with both. I'm sure his team will be much more successful than this radio show, but nonetheless we have Gene with us, and I'm going to carry on a conversation with Gene. But before I do that, I want to talk to you a little bit about this format, this Jaguars Monday format. Obviously, Monday, the day, usually is going to be the day after the game, which means it's going to be prime time for you, the fan, and that's why it's just me here. We didn't put another guy in the studio because you're going to be the other guy in the studio, you, the fan. This is going to be for you. You want to complain? Come on, complain. I can get edgy. We can make this show anything you want to make it. Just remember this: if you come here with thick skin. You got something to say, go ahead and say it. But if I don't like it, I may go off. Fair?
Fair.
Okay? I'm going to treat you respectfully, but you know, if you want to do the whine and cry thing, you know, be prepared. Is that fair, Gene?
That's fair.
That's Gene Smith, Jaguars general manager, who I think is doing a great job. And I really mean that. And I say he's doing a great job because I truly do believe that this is a rebuilding season, and I think that has been embraced. I think this team is getting on with it. I think you guys, well, first of all, am I being fair? Is that a good word, or have I gone over the top? Have I gone too far with?
Well, call it what you want. I think it's a new year. When you look at the 2009 season, it's one in which, you know, half of the roster has been turned over. I do think you'll see a new profile to this team, per se. And I've been very encouraged with what I've seen so far. Obviously, all the things haven't come together yet out on the field in the two preseason games. But I feel very cautiously optimistic about what this team would do if you judge it off the full season, the full body of the work.
What do you mean by new profile?
Well,
what profile?
I'd like to believe that you'll see a team that will be far more disciplined as we get into the regular season in terms of just the details of the game. Being in a position where in the fourth quarter, when you need to make the play or when you're in the red zone, we're going to be able to finish drives. And obviously, early in the season, there's a lot of flags on the ground around the league. There's a lot of points of emphasis from the official crews, which I think is good because I do think there's things that you can certainly learn from watching tape as to how it applies to the rules of the game. You hope when you get to the regular season, though, there's less flags on the ground, and especially when you get down in the red area, you're converting drives.
Your thing is young talent. You're a draft guy. You would rather draft a player, then sign a player in unrestricted free agency. I think that's fair to say.
That's correct.
You believe in the draft because you get a guy who's now going to be with you from the start. You're going to train him in your system. You're going to have him, hopefully, for his entire career. He's going to be yours, only yours.
And, Vic, you're dead on. What I think, if you equate this to college, you have guys that are in the program for 3, 4, and 5 years. They have an allegiance. They got ownership in that team, okay? And I think that's where you'll see better peer leadership, guys emerging that this is our team. There's a certain way that you have to do things to be a Jaguar.
Is that why college players tend to, early in their professional careers, they have a wonderful fondness for the college program from which they came? And if you get the long-timers, the guys who stay with one team through their professional career, you see them have that same attachment to them, to that team, if they stay with that one team through their whole career. You see that same attachment to their professional team that they had coming out of college for their college team. Is that why it's that way?
I think so. And I think you're very aware of a situation like that in Pittsburgh for a lot of years. They had some very successful teams, winning Super Bowls before these last two, where they were able to keep their team together. And there were a lot of players in that locker room that were mentors, veteran players to younger players. And that's what I want to do here. I want players to know if you perform well on and off the field, whenever we can do so, we'll try to reward our own.
I'm going to go through your draft class. Tell us where you think these guys are. Eugene Monroe, where is he in his development?
Well, certainly I think the arrow is up. I know he would have, told you after the game that he wishes he would have played a little bit better. You know, he wasn't as technique sound. He wasn't as firm on the edge. The one time he got walked back into David, he did have one holding call. But I think overall he blocked his guy. So in football terms, they say got man. He got his man blocked. But it didn't always look as clean as maybe what it looked back in college. And he got a chance to go against a real starting defensive end, Saturday night. And he'll get a couple more opportunities here in the preseason.
Who's he going to be looking at Thursday in Philadelphia?
Well, I mean, they got a number of guys. I think when you look at their football team, they got some guys that could come off the edge at the defensive end spot.
He's got the Eagles. Trent Cole is a tackle.
He's a defensive end.
He's got
exceptional quickness and snap anticipation. He was never a guy that was fast in the 40, but he was quick in the 10. And he's probably their best guy off the corner to stress a tackle. Mm-hmm. Again, he's a sacker. He's not just a rusher. He's a guy that does get to the quarterback. He is able to finish a rush. Because I categorize a guy as a rusher that gets upfield and he may get the quarterback to move, but he's not getting the quarterback down. He's not getting the ball out. Whereas a sacker, he's the guy that the quarterback can more than just smell his breath.
The other rookie tackle, the second round guy, Eben Britton, talk to us about him, please.
Well, Eben has continued to improve. Once he was placed at right tackle, each week he's done something better. Early on, he was playing too high. He didn't have good timing to his punch. He wasn't replacing with his hands, meaning if he had him outside off the snap and the defender got him inside, he wasn't replacing and getting him back inside to gain inside position. So just the technical aspects, not just of the footwork, the knee bend, but also the hand placement, I think through the last couple of weeks, he has really emerged as a guy who has become more technique sound. Now, he certainly has some areas where he needs to improve, but the one thing Eben doesn't do is he doesn't block air. Mm-hmm. Okay, he's a guy, if he's blocking the wrong guy, he's blocking somebody. And you like that innate trait in someone. He's got a finish attitude to him.
More in just a minute. We're going to take our first commercial break on the first ever Jaguars Monday radio show.
Vic, are you all right? Feel good?
Absolutely.
He's doing good, Gene?
Oh, he's doing excellent. I was actually, did not have anything written down.
Jaguars Rewards Program, your ticket to discounts and savings from a variety of merchants in the greater Jacksonville area. Save on things like Jags gear to money-saving offers at your favorite restaurants and a whole bunch more. Visit Jaguars.com/rewards for more information. Jaguars Monday's coming back right here on News Talk Radio WOKV. Depend on it.
David to throw on first down, has time in the pocket, plants and throws, and he's got Troy Williamson, and Williamson is beating the coverage, and he pulls it in! He's at the 10, 5, touchdown, Jaguars! 74 yards!
Jaguars fans, vote for your favorite teacher to be the Community First Credit Union Teacher of the Week. Your teacher could win club seats to a Jaguars home game. It's all part of First Down Touchdown Teachers. Visit CommunityFirstFL.org for the details. Back to Jaguars Monday with Vic Ketchman, special guest Gene Smith.
Yeah, we were talking with Gene. He was going through his draft class this year. But I have to stop because I heard that touchdown call by Brian Sexton. And I got to say this. Going into training camp, there were two guys I absolutely had buried. Two guys I was sure had no shot. Troy Williamson, with these rookie receivers coming on the way they did in OTAs, and the other one was Chauncey Washington. I had him dead and gone. I had Williamson dead and gone with, you know, Rashad Jennings playing as well as he did in OTAs. And look at the two guys who jumped out at me on Saturday. Troy Williamson, obviously, and the guy they're not, you know, no one's talking about is Chauncey Washington. I thought he ran really well, led the Jaguars in rushing Saturday. I'm not saying he's going to make the team or anything like that, but there is a lesson in this, even for old guys like me. If you get carried away and start cutting the roster, before it's time to cut the roster, you end up cutting guys like Montel Owens. I mean, who ever thought Montel Owens would make this team after he had been moved to safety? You know, because the numbers were down. Here he is. Now he's got a big contract, and they're talking about him as a Pro Bowl guy. So, again, folks, they're just two games into the preseason. At this point in Montel Owens' rookie year, we had him cut.
He was ninth on the depth chart at the running back position when he walked in the door.
Wow. So there's still a half a preseason to go, and there's some things that can be won and lost here, right?
No question.
Where specifically, what position looks like it has the hottest competition?
Well, I think receiver was one. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know you're a pads guy, for sure, Vic. And you wanted to see some guys transfer their play from shorts to pads.
Right.
I mean, sometimes you have guys who I call first-team OTA players. I mean, and they get to the pad exposure, and they're not first team, you know, training camp. And so I think you saw some guys this year transfer the OTAs or the shorts session to the padded session. So certainly we put more weight into the padded exposures in training camp, and then as you get into live game situations, that even gets even greater in terms of weighting that part of the evaluation.
I'm only going to keep you to the bottom of the hour, so I want to get through this draft class. You had commented before the break on Evan Britton. Point blank, does Evan Britton have a chance to become, in your opinion, a starter before this season is too far over?
I think he's got a good chance. I do. He's obviously in a heated battle with Tony Pacios, who's been the starter here. And, you know, he's a guy that I feel, if he continues to improve, I mean, is there a chance? Yeah, I think there's an opportunity for everybody on this team if they continue to compete hard and if certainly they end up being the best player that I think Jack has shown time and time again. He's willing to play new players that are deserving. Right now, we still got two more preseason games, and we'll see how that unfolds.
Terrence Knighton,
so far in the first two preseason games has shown some dominant traits. He's got the ability when he's matched up one-on-one to control the man over him. And once he learns how to play with his hands better, he'll be able to improve as a pass rusher. But even on the one play, it was 3rd and 15, and Byron threw it 17 yards for a first down. He was the guy hitting Byron as he was throwing the ball. But right now, I'd say, where is he ahead of the game? Against the run. I mean, he has shown the ability not only to hold the point, but to play downhill. And So he can be disruptive inside, and I think, again, he's still developing as a pass rusher.
Derek Cox?
Derek has come in, and obviously he's nursing a groin injury, but he's got height, he's got length. When I say that, I'm talking specifically about his arms. He's got quick feet. He's got awareness. He's got good ball skills. He just needs time on task.
Has he lost so much time because of the injury that now the expectation for his contribution has been diminished?
Well, I don't think it's diminished. I think corner is a position where I think it's not as rugged or as combative physically as playing offensive or defensive line. There's technique to the position. But it's not like the offensive line position where there's a lot more technique involved. Certainly, I trust his development being in the hands of Mel Tucker. And he's a guy that's very in tune in meetings and out at practice. So he's getting a lot of mental reps. And he's a guy that does things naturally to begin with. So do I think it stunts his growth some? Yes. But I don't think for a young player that he's a guy with a large learning curve.
Mike Thomas has missed a ton of time. Can you keep him off injured reserve? I mean, is there a way to find a role for him this year?
Well, there's a couple ways. I mean, if he gets healthy before the last game, we get a chance to take more of a look at him. Certainly, you got a couple options. You could carry him and put him inactive. You could put him on IR if, in fact, he's not able to perform here in the preseason and his hamstring's still an issue. But he's a guy coming out of training camp the first couple days was obviously one of the most explosive guys on the field. He was quick and fast. He's got the ability to be a return-type guy, punt and kick. But it's been very disappointing for him, I know, to have the reoccurring hamstring injury.
Jarrett Dillard.
Well, he had a couple bad days where he did drop some balls. And he's a guy that I think takes tremendous pride in what he does. And so you would see him on the judge machine working to get over his batter slump, I guess you would call it, there for a couple days. But when he got into games, the last two, Miami and Tampa, the opportunities he's had, he's taken advantage of.
Okay, let me get you going quickly on these last guys so I can ask you maybe a question or two before you leave. Zach Miller has some sort of injury. Jack isn't forthcoming with it. That's okay with me. All we know is it's a leg injury, and our understanding is that it's not season-ending.
It's not. Obviously, we're trying to get guys ready for the season. He's a guy that's continued to make progress, and he gives us something in the tight end position that I think we've lacked.
Will he be back, Gene?
He'll be back, yeah.
Okay. Then help me out. After Sean or Zach Miller, Rashad Jennings, right?
Yes, and again, he's nursing. a groin, but he's doing fine. You know, he's back out on the practice field like Derek Cox was today. We're just trying to, make sure that these guys are ready.
Will Jennings play on Thursday, or is he going
to? He's got a chance to, yes.
Okay. And the last guy is one of my favorites from the draft class, Tyquan Underwood, who I love his upside, the size, the speed. And he makes this wonderful catch on the sideline to get a first down. In Saturday's game, shows everybody exactly what I saw in OTAs, but he's dropping everything else. What's going on?
I think he's trying too hard. I do. He's a guy, too. He got one kickoff return opportunity, took it 34 yards.
Yeah.
I mean, he does some things very natural. I just think him and Dillard both, I just think they got to relax and just go out and play. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think they're, in some respects, they're trying too hard, and that can work against you sometimes.
Well, we've drawn near the end here of the first half hour of the first ever Jaguars Monday show. And, Gene, thank you so much for helping me kick this off. I will undoubtedly ask you to come back, and I'm I'm sure you will say yes, right?
I will, and it's a pleasure for me to be here. I'm really into trying to help the passionate fans out there get a greater understanding of what we do, how we do it, because I think that's one thing, Vic, with you, you know, dealing with our website and the fans and then having this type of a show, you give them an opportunity to really learn the ins and the outs.
And the fan thing is a big deal. In this town right now, it's a big deal for this team. It's a big deal with me, and we're going to certainly get into that in the second half hour. But I will let you go now. Thanks so much, Gene. And for those of you, you got a phone number, Joe?
I got a phone number for you.
Give it to him.
All right, coming up right after news, your chance to talk to Vic. 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Outside the area, 1-800-355-NFL-1. Jaguars Monday is brought to you by Best Buy. Remember to stop by the new Best Buy in the St. John's Town Center. This is your flagship station for Jaguars football. News Talk Radio WOKV. Depend on it.
To talk to Vic, dial 355-NFL-1 or 1-800-355-NFL-1. Now back to Jaguars Monday on your flagship station for Jaguars football. News Talk Radio WOKV.
Fans, nobody helps you get ready for game day better than Gate. Snacks, food, drinks, and more. Stop by Gate today, Victor.
Ah, Jaguars Monday. Do you like it?
I love it. How do you like it?
I like it. I like it a lot because there's the word Monday. It's implied that this is the day after the game, although it's not the day after the game today, but it will be for 16 weeks.
Yeah.
And that implication that it's the day after the game also says that it's for you to say what you thought about yesterday's game, so to speak.
Yeah.
And that's why I say, you know, I'm one man in the room, but the fans are going to be the other person in the room. And you know, this show, which was Jaguars Reporters, was a wonderful show. I loved the job that Cole did with it, and it was scripted. It was real tight, and you know, it didn't have. We always seem to end the show with a full bank of callers who didn't get on the air, and I'm not going to do that with this show. I don't believe that's going to happen. There's going to be more time made for you for the obvious reason that that you're the other person in the room and I'm going to need you. So with that, let's get in some. Let's go to some of these calls, and let's start first with Dave in St. Augustine, Joe. Dave,
good evening.
Welcome to Jaguars Monday.
Good evening, Mr. Ketchman. Thank you very much for taking my call. It's an honor to be the inaugural caller.
You are.
Thank you very much. Season ticket holder, Ask Vic regular here. I really could not be more proud, satisfied, pleased, happy all in all with the job that Gene Smith is doing. You just get the feeling from him that he's old school, he's doing it the right way, and will continue to do so. I would have never imagined, looking back on the off season, that the team would be fully, I mean, you know, let's use the word rebuilt, and it's, you know, it's a constant rebuilding situation, but as far as I'm concerned, the team has been reconstructed.
Let me stop you right there and comment on something that you said. This team is paying, in my opinion, will pay this year a heavy price for poor drafting. When you don't have a first round pick to show from the 03, 04, and 05 drafts. When your 05 draft has been reduced now to Scott Starks and Alvin Pearman, both of whom are going to be challenged to make this roster. Hey, this team could go into this season without a player from the 05 draft, which would just be devastating because you're talking about a draft that should have produced players who are entering the prime years of their career. So this team, in my opinion, will pay a heavy price for bad drafting over the last several years. Now, here's the good news. I don't believe that team will pay that price again, will ever pay that price again with Gene Smith calling the shots. I don't think you're going to see the wild picks as Matt Jones was to take a player who is making a conversion from quarterback to wide receiver, to take that player in the first round, and that's uncommon. I don't think you're going to see strange choices as Reggie Williams was. And I know people ask me all the time, well, wasn't Gene on the staff? Didn't he approve of that? And then the bottom line answer to that is no. It wasn't. He wasn't the boss. He wasn't the man. What you saw this year in the way of a draft class in no way resembled what this team has done over the past several years. It was a complete departure from that. You're going to see a very, very logical, a very sensible approach to the draft. You're going to see a sensible approach to free agency. You're going to see a sensible approach to everything. You're not going to get, I don't think he's got, you're going to get that burst, that roster burst that you want to see. But what you're going to see under Gene is something that's procedural. It's going to be gradual, but it's going to be steady. You're going to see steady improvement to this roster.
Absolutely, I concur. And the question that I had, though, was there seems to be a bit of a log jam at the wide receiver position. I would like to know what you think is going to, you know, I know it's, you know, crystal ball at this time, but is there someone that maybe put on the IR? Are they going to carry six? Are they going to carry five? You know, between Holt, Walker, and Williamson, and Hughes, and the three rookies, you know, there's seven guys there that really have the eligibility to make the team. I don't think any of the rookies are going to be able to make it through on the practice squad.
Well, let's start with a number, and I think the logical number is five wide receivers. This team did, by the way, start last season with six wide receivers on their final 53. But let's remember that one of those receivers was Jerry Porter, and he was a guy who had that hamstring surgery and wasn't going to play until the early part of October. So they really had five guys. They just put him on there because they had paid $1 zillion for him, and they didn't want to put him on IR. So let's start with five. Williamson and Nate Hughes are obviously roster locks. Torrey Holt is obviously a roster lock, which leaves us, in my opinion, to find two more receivers to put on this roster. Now, everybody knows that I got an eye for Tyquan Underwood because here's a big guy who can run, and I see him do stunning things as he did late in the game on Saturday, but of course he dropped balls before that, which is the other side of stunning. He's iffy right now. Jarrett Dillard has gone through a case of the dropsies. He's iffy right now. Mike Thomas is, at this point, I think he's got a real leg up on the injured reserve list because of his injury. So finding these extra two guys, you know, that's going to be a little bit difficult. Who are they? I still lean toward Tyquan Underwood, and most people lean toward Jarrett Dillard. So, who am I missing? Anyone? Holt and Mike Walker. There's the guy I'm missing. Mike Walker is the guy who is now in a show me situation. He's coming off the ankle. Hopefully he'll play on Thursday, but there's no guarantee. What has to happen in my mind is Mike has got to at least play and do some good things in one of these two final preseason games. If he just shows them in one preseason game what he can do, then he makes the roster and all of those rookies fight for the final spot. But if Mike can't go, if he can't go in his final two games, or if he should go and get injured again, it's going to be, in my opinion, it'd probably be a long shot.
Great, Vic. Thank you very much. Great. Best of luck moving forward. Liking the show.
Okay. Let's talk to John from Keystone Heights. He wants to talk about quarterbacks. Hi, John.
Hey, how you doing? You're doing all right, Vic.
Thank you.
Yeah, a question, because, I mean, we haven't really seen. How many guys they got as quarterbacks on the roster right now?
I think that, well, they got three, but I think they'll keep two. I think the plan is to keep two and maybe have a third one on the practice squad. Paul Smith certainly has practice squad eligibility. If he satisfies them, then that's going to be his destination. I can't imagine that Paul Smith will be on the final roster. The real issue here is Todd Bauman. There will be quarterbacks who will come free around the league. You're going to see lots of them come free. You're going to see somebody come free from Tampa Bay.
Tampa Bay, that's what I was going to say. There's going to probably be a halfway decent one from Tampa Bay.
Yeah, and I think the same can be said for Arizona. They've got a couple guys, three guys fighting for that backup spot. One of them is Matt Leinart. What happens if Matt Leinart loses that battle? Do they cut a guy to whom they paid a lot of signing bonus? Which means that you could get somebody like that cheaply. So, you know, everyone is trying. It seems like most teams, at least, are trying to go with two quarterbacks only. It's a real burden carrying three guys on your roster. And what that means for a team like the Jaguars is that somebody is going to come free and he's going to be a bargain. And the guy who comes to mind for me right away last year is the guy in Cincinnati, Ryan Fitzpatrick. This is where I could use Sexton because he knows all this stuff. I think I got that name right. He's the guy anyhow, the guy that beat the Jaguars when the Bengals scored their first win of the season, upset the Jaguars. He's the guy who did it, and he was really, really good in that game, especially in the first half. I thought he looked sensational. You're talking about a guy there that was cut by St. Louis. He's from Harvard, you know, which only goes to prove that you find football players where you find football players. And the Jaguars are going to be – Todd Bauman is definitely going to – Todd Bauman is not in competition with Paul Smith. Todd Bauman is in competition with every quarterback in this country, in this league, who may get cut. You still there, caller?
Hey.
Does that satisfy your...
Yeah, but I got one more question.
Ask it, and then I'll answer it when we come back from the break.
Okay.
Go ahead.
What I want to know is tell everybody your background, where you played high school, football.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
You were at Golden Flashes. Talk about Jack Lambert and the uniqueness is about Jack Lambert when he played for the Golden Flashes.
This show is about the Jaguars, but thanks anyhow. Let's take a break.
All right, Victor. Jaguars fans, enter to win $50,000 towards your new home with Prudential Network Realty's Take It to the House drawing. One winner is going to be chosen from each home game. You and a guest could win tickets, a parking pass, and a chance to win $50,000. Just log on to Prudential Network Realty's PrudentialNetworkRealty.com for details. Vic will be back right here on News Talk Radio WOKV. Depend on it.
Here's 4th and 8. Ball at the 20-yard line, 45 seconds left, no timeouts. Three-man rush, Bauman fires, touchdown, Jacksonville, Tyler Lorenzen on 4th and 8.
Jaguars Rewards program is your ticket to discounts and savings from a whole bunch of merchants in the greater Jacksonville area. Save on things like Jags gear, some money-saving offers at your favorite restaurants, and a whole lot more. Just visit jaguars.com/rewards for more information. You want to talk to Vic, 355-NFL1 or 1-800-355-NFL1. Victor?
Jaguars Monday. Joe, how do you like Jaguars Monday so far?
I like Jaguars Monday.
You know, I loved this show when it was Jaguars reporters.
I know you did.
I'm just really loved
it. You rave about
it
all the time.
I really want this thing to do well. I have no doubt that we're going to attract a lot of callers because this team is team is rebuilding, and there are going to be Mondays of angst ahead. That's just the way it is. If anybody thinks that it's just going to be, you know, all hearts and tiptoes through this season, no. There's going to be a lot of angst. You know what? That's good for guys like me. Because that's what's going to drive this show. And if you are one of those people who wants to voice your opinion, this show is just for you. So write down the phone number and keep it next to your radio or whatever, and don't hesitate to call, but make sure you got your Band-Aids. You know what I mean?
I know you can take it.
I can take it.
So if you're going to call and you're going to give it to Vic, be able to take it.
Okay, let's talk to Bill from the South Side. He wants to talk about the Eagles game.
Yeah, how you doing, Vic?
Good, Bill.
I wouldn't worry about this. You know, you may be flying not entirely solo because you got Joe there with you.
Yeah.
It's going to be a great show. Anyway, I just want to call up. I'm glad the season started. I'm full of hope. I love this time of year because, you know, you figure you're going to win some. I was just thinking we really need to, even though preseason doesn't mean anything. We lost the first two, but we really need to go up to the Eagles and beat them. We can't let Mike, who hasn't played for 2 years, come in and beat us. He's going to be scrambling all over the place because that's what he did best.
Michael Vick. Don't worry about Michael Vick. That's a sideshow. The headliner in the storyline to this game for the Eagles. It has nothing to do with the Jaguars storyline. The Jaguars storyline is this. They're going up to Philadelphia to play against a team that is considered to be a legitimate Super Bowl contender, and they are. I mean, this Eagles team is loaded. Not only do they have a great veteran quarterback in Donovan McNabb, who's already been to one Super Bowl, the one play here, and not only have they added an exciting big play guy in Michael Vick, but they have, and not only do they have some good young players who are now entering the primes of their careers, such as Trent Cole, you know, about whom we Gene spoke a little bit, but they've added some guys in what looks like a great draft class. LeSean McCoy had a huge game against the Patriots in the preseason opener. Jeremy Maclin is another guy they added. The Eagles have a real good look about them, and the Jaguars are going into an environment that will be charged, you know, excited by the Michael Vick debut, and they're going to be going against a legitimate Super Bowl contender. And this is an opportunity in, by the way, the highest quality of the four preseason games, week three. This is a chance to really get a good gauge on the Jaguars. What is this team? What can it be this year? This is the game. If there's one game in the preseason that's going to answer that question, this is the one.
We've got to kind of win this game.
No, you don't have to win it. Bill, you don't have to win it, but you have to show that you belong on the field with the Eagles.
Okay. Hey, listen, are you going to how do you work this year? Okay, we have a game Thursday, but you're not going to come back until Monday, then,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, but I mean, okay. But in the regular season, this show is going to be hot on the heels of the game the day before. And that's always driven this show in the past, and it's going to drive it again this year. I can't wait. A Monday evening show is really a dream for anybody in my business.
Yeah, well, you'll do real well, and I'll be listening and calling. Believe it.
Okay, Bill. Thanks for calling tonight. Joe, do we have time for one more, or are we done?
You can do one more.
Okay, call him up. Bring him up there. I don't know what his name is. It's not on the board. Hello, welcome to Jaguars Monday. Hello, Jaguars Monday, you're on.
Hi, Vic.
Yeah.
Bill here.
Another Bill.
Yeah, special teams concerns the heck out of me, especially the kickoff return coverage. I just turned it in, and I don't know if you've covered that or not. But
okay, let me address it, because I only have a few minutes, and I think I can satisfy you.
Thank you.
Okay. The question is, should I be concerned about special teams, you know, after just two preseason games? And my answer is no. I'm not saying that don't get concerned. Don't be concerned after a couple games into the regular season. But I wouldn't be concerned now. Number one, Montel Owens has favored a knee injury through training camp. You know, he's this team's star, special teams guy. He's not there. They're patching in all these kids to see what they have. You know, they're using special teams as an evaluating tool, as a means of looking at people to see if they should keep them or not. So what you're seeing here is something that is being used instead of being previewed. There's a difference. When you see Brian Iwu and Montel Owens and Sean Considine, when you see these guys, these special teams players, special team stars, on the field together, then you can start to evaluate where the special teams, especially as it pertains to the coverage units, is. And maybe we'll see that this Thursday against the Eagles. But based on the first two, I mean, I saw so many odd numbers running down under kicks. I wouldn't give it too much concern, you know. Where are we, Joe? Got a couple minutes left?
I guess it's time to go.
Okay.
Say goodbye.
I will say goodbye. Thanks for listening, and we will be back on the air with Jaguars Monday next Monday, and that is the week of the Washington.
Right before the D.C. game.
Right before the Jaguars game against the Redskins, which is thankfully the final preseason game of the year.
Very good.
Thanks, everybody.
All right, Victor, thank you. And don't forget, tonight you can check out Brian and Jeff. They're on CBS 47. Their special guest, Troy Williamson. Victor will be back Wednesday night for Jaguars This Week. Tomorrow night right here on WOKV, Brian Sexton with the coach, Jack Del Rio. It's the Jack Del Rio Show. Good night, everybody.
Yeah. You've been listening to Jaguars Monday with Vic Ketchman, brought to you by Prudential Network Realty. This is AM 690 and 106.5 FM. News Talk Radio, WOKV.